Welcome. I'm Coach Julie. I'm going to let you all come in. Get Coach Lisa up here. There she comes. Welcome. All right, here we are. I am so excited too, Emily. Welcome, everyone. So, we are here for the first No BS body image and sex coaching call. It's a new series we're offering. I am going to introduce myself. Those of you who know me already, a little of this history will be familiar to you, and some of it won't be. We have Coach Lisa in the chat. She's extremely educated in this subject as well. So you can ask her anything. You can put whatever you want in the Q&A. As soon as I'm done doing my intro and doing a little bit of a talk on spontaneous versus reactive libido, so just a few minutes, we'll do a hand raise if you want to be coached. So welcome. Thanks for being here. I want to talk to you today. Yes, thank you, Lisa. If in fact you are in the chat and wanting to participate, please change your chat to everyone so that we can all see your genius. So thank you for that. Lisa will be in all caps, and let's get going. I'm so excited to be here with you. So I am Coach Julie. I was an accountant for 25 years, and in 2019, I became a No BS woman. I hadn't spent a lifetime overweight. I took a fall in 2007 and I injured my right hand. And it was such a profound injury that I had seven surgeries on my hand and hundreds of hours of physical therapy. And ultimately, I lost most of the functional use of my right hand. And through that process, of experiencing so much physical and emotional pain, I ate and ate and ate. And of course, the pain was not taken away by the food. And so eventually I stopped eating, but I was kind of left with what to do next. So I joined No BS. And I attended a live event where Corinne coached me on my relationship with my husband, who's on the autism spectrum. And that coaching was like, boom, life altering. And I got home from my trip and registered for the life coach school. I became a life coach and started working for No BS that same year. So I'm almost at my 3-year No BS anniversary. So here's the interesting thing. I was never really limited by my weight when it came to tackling big goals in my life. I've always just thought I could find a way to do anything, including becoming like a competitive stair climber at 350 pounds. I have a laundry list of life accomplishments, all of which I accomplished between 250 and 350 pounds, including losing 90 pounds so far with no BS. Okay, are you buying my story right now? All right, well, herein lies the rub. That's not the whole story. As you might have guessed already, there's one thing that was greatly impacted by my body, my thoughts about my body. And as a result, my sex life and my body image. I didn't have sex with my husband for like 10 years or with myself. I believed I wasn't supposed to, that I wasn't entitled to, that he couldn't be attracted to me because of my body weight, that I couldn't be attracted to me, that I shouldn't want to have sex, that I didn't have a right to pleasure at the size I was, that women like me deserved a life without sex, that we didn't deserve pleasure. You name it, I thought it. And then a couple of years ago, something came up in my marriage that might have been sort of catastrophic, life-altering type thing. But instead, it turned into this mega open-door conversation We had the kind of heart to heart, that meeting of the minds, that mind-blowing type conversation that you have. And words were said, and I couldn't unhear them. And what I realized was I was limiting myself. It was my beliefs about me that were limiting my sex life, my intimate life, my image of my own body. It was me. I was limiting myself based on my beliefs. I was the problem. I went on a quest. Look at me pulling a Karen and crying on screen. I went on a quest to seek answers for myself. And then as I did that, I sought answers ultimately to support other women like me. I completed a sex and relationship certification program, and I was transformed. I was able to apply what I learned and shift my own life and beliefs around my body to create like an incredible sex life. Mind-blowing, really. And all in the body that I have today. Then early this year, I decided to take an advanced certification in women's sexual intimacy with Dr. Sonia Wright, which has allowed me to focus more on women in midlife like me. So I'm 51. Lots of changes happen at this time in your life. So I'm wrapping up that final project for that certification as we speak. But I just want you to know that, like, I walk this walk. I talk this talk. I have been on a profound journey of transformation around this, and I want to support you in having a safe place to talk about sex and intimacy, how you think about your body in any possible way you want to. You all know that No BS is just the safest place to talk about whatever you want to, but I want you to know that this particular conversation, I'm all in. So bring it. All right, let's talk for a few minutes, just a couple, about spontaneous versus reactive libido. And then definitely anybody who has their hand up, we will just coach through raised hands. So, all right. I did not know a lot about spontaneous and reactive libido. So I thought something was wrong with me because I never spontaneously felt like I wanted sex. And so my husband seemed to be spontaneous. And I want you to know, I am referring to my husband sometimes as husband, sometimes as partner, but this applies to all people, all relationships, whatever relationship you have here, we can talk about it in that way. So, please just know, when I'm speaking about my personal experience, I'm talking about my present marital situation. So, all right. Spontaneous, right? Spontaneous libido is like sort of a type of sexual desire where the arousal is it like without a sort of specific external stimulus or trigger. And I thought something was wrong with me because I never was spontaneous. I was always very reactive. Like he would initiate something and my body would either react or it didn't. And so if you think about it, spontaneous is very of the mind into the body. It can happen without like any specific reason. It can just like happen. In some studies, there's a fair amount of science that on average, men tend to be more spontaneous, but like literally that is not a rule. Not all men are. And so I just want to throw it out there that it's like sort of common knowledge with the science that men are a little bit more spontaneous. But it's important to note, like all men aren't, and women are spontaneous too sometimes. But on the other hand, reactive libido is when your arousal and desire comes as a response to like an external stimuli or like a trigger. So maybe being touched or kissed, words of affirmation, maybe something visual like a movie or a picture. But it reactive requires some sort of external thing to kind of like get you in the mood. And oftentimes that's in the body. to the brain, right? Like it used to be, my brain was so full of life, school, family, parent care. I just never, my brain was never in the mood. But if you could get my body in the mood, my brain would get on board. So this is very common for women. Women on average may be more likely to experience a reactive sexual desire. And really, neither is better. And both are fantastic. But what's interesting is, so oftentimes with couples, in a heterosexual couple specifically, so oftentimes a man will think that the spontaneous is so much better. And a woman who is reactive. And so he'll wait for spontaneous, thereby not having sex. So I just wanted to offer this up as our first discussion. So you could think for yourself, like, are you spontaneous? Do you just randomly want sexual intimacy? Are you reactive? Does it take some talking or some touching or relaxation or getting in the mood? Neither is wrong. Both are okay. Both are normal. And anyone who's had any sort of relationship where someone has said something to you, where there's an implication that something is wrong with your way, there's not. Your way is normal. Anyone who's interested in this subject, one of the best books out there that's super easy to understand is called Come As You Are. And it's by a doctor named Emily Nagoski. And I highly recommend it for anyone who's really interested in understanding all the facets of your sexuality, from putting on the brakes to stepping on the gas, in when you say yes, when you say no. And I mean, there's so much science there, body parts and all the things. So I highly recommend it. All right. That's it. We will keep talking every month that we have a call. We'll do a little moment of some sharing, and then we're going to get into the coaching. At some point, I may take a Q&A or two or three. And then Lisa will also be in the Q&A and in the chat. Amy asked, is there a way to move from reactive to more spontaneous, or is that kind of what you are? You know, I think this is a great question. It's how your body functions probably doesn't change, but like this is where no BS thought work comes in. Because if you set the intention to be more spontaneous, of course, right away, that's not spontaneous, right? Because you have decided you want to be spontaneous. But what you are doing is setting the intention of being more open to sexual interaction, which does kind of create a more spontaneous space because it means you're not waiting for an external stimulus, right? You've set the intention. So it's possible to affect it, but really in that case, Amy, I wouldn't even bother labeling it. It's like all you're really saying is, I want to have more intimacy. And I'm willing to go for it. And whether it's spontaneous or reactive, if that's how you're feeling, like I want more, you have that thought, I want more, that's good go. That's what I have to say about it. So, okay, hands. Yes, the book is called Come As You Are by Emily Nagoski. Amy, you are first up. I'm going to promote you to panelist.
I forgot I had to push buttons.
Welcome. Hi.
Hi. So thank you, first of all, for tagging in the message on Facebook. That was awesome. The part, like what I had posted on Facebook was about my husband no longer being attracted to me if I lose weight, which is what he's told me. I'm not so much worried about that anymore. I'm kind of just like, you know, I've already lost 30 pounds and you're cool with it, so we'll be fine. What I am struggling with is He's attracted to my belly, and I don't love that. It's also not normal or a normal erogenous zone for normal people, so I'm having a hard time kind of like wrapping my head around that. And then so we've come to a point where we've decided that the bedroom is a safe zone, right? So I will dress up in whatever I want because that makes me feel confident. And then if he touches me in that space, then I feel okay about it because we're in the mood, that sort of thing. Is there anything else I can do to maybe kind of meet him more where he's at, or is that okay for now?
Yeah, these are such great questions. So let's talk about them separately a little bit here. So first, I just want you to know, like, it doesn't matter if you're married or not married, partnered, like, consent is always a thing. It's important. And married, you are still entitled to consent. You don't ever have to consent to something you don't want to do. So I think a great way to kind of get in touch. I love your idea of the bedroom is a safe space, right? So, but let's talk about like what you consider, like what you want to do or have done to you, what you're willing and what you won't do. So, if you think about your stomach and it being touched, let's just like hand touching. Do you want him to touch it? Are you
No.
willing to let him touch it, or do you not want it touched?
The only time I don't mind it being touched is when we are actually in the act. Other than that, I don't like it. And now the issue is that I've allowed it before because the consent thing has really kind of been out the window for me since we got together. Because when I was young, I was abused sexually, so anything in that area of intimacy or sexual relationship, I blamed any inconsistencies or problems on me. And then, so then, okay, well, if I don't do this, then he's going to leave me. And right. So now I don't know how to go backwards from that because then he's like, well, you've let me do it before. What's your problem now?
Yeah, I'm so glad you brought this up, Amy, because no matter what you let someone do before, you are entitled to ask them to not do it now. Always, every time, in the middle of it, you can say you can do this now and decide, no, I actually changed my mind. I don't want you to do this now. But the best way to do that is ahead of time to have a conversation. Like, being able to say to your husband, I have allowed this, but I want you to know I really actually don't like it. I find it to be a turnoff. And although I know you like it, I assume that we both want us to be in, like, aroused together. And this is really a turnoff to me. So I'm willing sometimes to let you do it, but I'd like to pick and choose and lead when that is. And it doesn't necessarily need to make sense to him when that is. You get to fully decide because it's your body. Period. So, but let's talk about normal for a minute. What is normal?
Right? It's tough. It's really hard, I think, for everybody in every walk of life. But I know growing up, my mom was like, well, you don't want to be overweight or you're going to have an overweight husband. My husband's not overweight at all. But just all of those, the things that you've learned over years, right? Like, I can't wear a tucked in shirt because I have a belly. Well, is that true? Right.
Yeah. So what you're actually describing is a subject that's so important, one that's sort of on my list to talk about at some point in the coming months as we do these calls. What you're describing is something called bias, unconscious bias, really. You've learned things about how women of certain size dress. You've learned things about sexuality, what is normal and what isn't normal. And you bring that along with you, right? We learn all these things from our parents, from our families, from school, from influences in society, from our religious practices, really from television, movies, books. And we bring all these things really subconsciously along for the ride with us. And I guess I want you to know there's really nothing normal or not normal. There's you and your husband and what you both like and don't like and what you want to be normal for you.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
Okay. So do you want anything associated with your stomach to be normal for you?
I think that I want to figure out why I don't like it first before I decide that I don't want him to ever touch it again. Because there are times when it does, when he is, and it's not horrible, right? Okay. So do I not like it on a normal day just because I'm not supposed to like that? Or do I not like it because I just don't like it?
Well, let's talk about it. What do you think? When you think about him touching your stomach, what don't you like about it?
When I'm standing in the kitchen and he does that, I just feel an ick.
Because why?
Because it's just not, I don't understand it. For me, like, there's people who like feet, for example, and if they touch feet, they like feet, right? Which I think is how he feels, right? Like, I just, this is what I like, but yeah. I wouldn't want that. I just don't like it. It's just not my jam.
So, like, do you need to understand it? So you don't have to have it ever done to you. So I'm going to talk to everybody for a minute. I want everyone to know, talking with Amy, I am never going to push Amy to talk about anything she doesn't want to talk about. And also, she gets to have consent always, always. She never has to do anything. But the reason we're here is to work on our feelings, our thoughts about things, and to come up with solutions, if there's solutions that are wanted, or acceptance if that's desired. So to come up with that, we have to talk about it. So I'm going to ask Amy, like, what is wrong with him liking to touch your stomach?
I think it's a bit of a self-esteem trigger for me. It's an embarrassment.
Okay. So you have thoughts about your stomach.
Mm-hmm.
Like what?
Why is there two of them? And I just, I can't, I feel like I can't wear clothes that, you know, we see in magazines all the time. And I don't like the shape of it. And I don't feel good about it. I feel like I let myself down.
Yeah. So you have a lot of thoughts about this body part. Mm-hmm. Is there anything good about it?
It's gotten smaller.
Okay. Do you have soft skin?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you like how like it looks when you lay down?
It looks better when I lay down because I don't see it as big, I guess.
Okay.
But I don't know. I feel like that's kind of negative. I like the color of my skin. That's nice.
You like the color of your skin? It's soft.
Yeah.
Is there any benefit to sort of rejecting a part of your body?
No. I used to talk to myself really horribly standing in the mirror about how much I hated myself. And I don't want to do that with body parts either. This is the same thing.
Yeah, it is. So, okay. This is so great because we're going to be mixing somatics, coaching of the body, some less of the mind, but we're also going to wrap in no BS tools and weight loss every time we do these calls. So this is a perfect time for the four N's new belief process. So noticing thoughts you have about your stomach, normalizing them, right? Because you have a bunch of bias that you've brought with you about your body and the shape. And then neutralizing, right? It's just a stomach. We have like all these body parts. It's just a stomach. And then a next best thought. I really want to urge all of us on these calls to not go, don't think you're going to be unicorns skipping through fields of daisies to the next best thought that's just like going to be so beautiful. But what is a more neutral thought that you could have about your stomach? Like just like 1% better than how you think about it today.
It's not hurting me. It's not doing anything bad to me.
Okay.
It's just there.
Okay. It's my stomach. It's just there. It's not doing anything bad to me. I think this is a great first start because it's very neutral, right? It's not like a fake happy belief, excuse me. And it can allow you to just be in acceptance with your body. Now let's get back to your husband, right? There's something to be learned from him. Like if we decided to not worry about normal or not normal, let's agree that he gets to like what he likes. He really likes your stomach, Amy.
Yeah, he really does.
Where's the bad in this?
It's not bad. It's really not. It's just hard for, I accept that he does, right? It's just hard for me. And sometimes I bring things to a screeching halt because I'm like, ugh, why?
Yeah. But so remember how we talked about having a conversation ahead of time? So like not in the moment of an intimate moment, but like ahead, that's such a great thing to share. Like insert husband's name here. I just want you to know, I really appreciate that you love me the way I am and you're attracted to my body and particularly my stomach. It means a lot to me. And I have such a disdain for it. It like puts on my brakes instantly. Like I'm super turned off by it. And I'm working on changing my mindset around my own stomach. But in the meantime, I really want to be sexually intimate with you. I want to be connected to you. And if this action puts on my brakes, that's not helping. So is there anything that we can do in the interim where I don't have to throw on my brakes all the time, where I'm saying yes and not no? What do you think of that?
Yeah, I like it. I think the safe zone thing was good, but I think it's good to have a conversation even each time too, because then it'll help build what we're both comfortable with moving forward.
Agreed. And it turns out words are very powerful in creating like the intimate life that you want, but also those same words are the thoughts you have about your own body. So they're really powerful in changing your body image. So, okay, you have two homework assignments, one with your body image and working through a four ends around your thinking. And you're welcome to tag me in Facebook or put it in Ask Coach's Attention to me. The second one is to have a conversation with your husband when you're ready, if you're ready, and share with him what it is that you like and don't like about it and what happens, like how it throws on, like you immediately put your foot on the brake and your desire to not do that and what you're open to instead.
Sounds good.
Okay. Keep me posted if you need support. I'm around. You know where to find me in Ask Coaches or in Facebook.
Thank you.
Thanks, Amy. I'll see you soon.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. So good. Amy, so brave to be our first person coach. Thank you so much. I admire you so for sharing so openly. Sarah, you're up next. Let's see what's in the Q&A while Sarah's coming on. With Viagra, this helps hubby. I have issues with the being so tight that at first it's painful. Oh, Becky. Hi, Sarah. Well, you okay sitting there for 1 second while I answer Becky's question? Okay. Yeah. Thank you for that. So this is such a great question, Becky, because for the human female anatomy, it can take as much as 20 to 30 minutes for your body, your vulva, to get primed and ready to be penetrated. And what you're describing is like your husband being ready because of the Viagra much quicker than you. This is a great conversation to have with him when he is not ready to say like, hey, I need a little priming. Like Viagra gets you primed and ready. I need a little primer too. And just trust that, like, that 20 to 30 minutes, 15 to 30 minutes, it's really normal for all women. Now, some women don't need that, but it's really normal to need it. So that would be my recommendation, to see if giving yourself the proper amount of time allows for your body to be ready to receive. Sarah, what are you working on?
Okay, so I've been married to my husband about 9 years, and when we first got together, it was awesome. Our lovemaking was the best I've ever had.
Yeah.
And then I gained quite a lot of weight, probably around 50 pounds. And I just had so much self-loathing, honestly. That I just really withdrew. And I've lost some since then, like probably 25 to 30. So I'm feeling more myself. I don't know how else to say it.
Okay.
And yet I just don't know how to, like, rekindle that relationship. It just feels like we're both really stuck. And I think some people have mentioned libido. I think his is fairly low. You know, we're both getting older, and
yeah.
I'm sort of in this place of, like, I'm postmenopausal, but I don't feel like that's stopping me. I feel like it's almost like I'm so out of practice. I don't even know how to
yeah.
approach it, how to bring it up. I just feel super nervous about it. And I, you know, my background is, I wasn't abused, but I had an English British family who just, like, there was zero conversation about sexuality in my upbringing. So, and I mean literally zero.
Yeah.
So it's just really uncomfortable.
Sure. Sure. Of course it is. Yeah, I'm so glad you brought this up. So let's just talk about it a little. I mean, you're here bringing it up to me. So I just want to applaud you for that.
Thanks.
Right? Like, that's huge.
Yeah.
So this is so interesting, because I understand what you mean, where you're premenopausal, but, like, is that even a factor at all? Or is it just something you're kind of like behind a little bit, like letting be the reason? So let me ask you this. Do you and your husband hold hands? Do you hug? Do you kiss?
Yeah, we do all of those things.
Okay. And are they, like, for you, are they meaningful?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think touch is my love language.
Yeah. And so that's still happening. So this is not an issue of, like, this is truly you not being attracted to you. Is that true?
Well, I think there's insecurity. Like,
okay.
He and I are about the same height. He's very slender. You know, my hips are way bigger than his, you know, all those things. I feel uncertain. I feel really uncertain about if I'm attractive to him anymore, mm-hmm. you know? So I have a lot, I think I have a big self-confidence issue.
Okay. So, well, let's start with you. Are you able to be attracted to you?
It's such a good question. I feel like I've kind of gone on pause, and it's hard for me to tell anymore.
Okay. So as much as it would be easy to talk all about him, this is where we want to focus.
Yeah.
Because if you're not even attracted to you, if you're not, like, all in on you, why would we think he would be?
Yeah. Yeah.
So what can you do today to connect yourself to you 1% better? You notice I'm using no BS techniques.
I love it.
We talk, right? Because that way we can use all the no BS worksheets, but modify them for sex and intimacy and body image.
Yeah. Well, the first thing I think about is clothing, you know, choosing clothing that I feel really good in.
Yes. Okay.
I mean, I tend to cover myself up mostly, but that's mostly for comfort, you know, the it's fall.
Yeah. When you're naked after the shower or a bath, do you look at yourself in the mirror?
No.
Why not?
Well, I think I am doing my best to keep a positive attitude, and I'm worried that I won't be able to.
Why?
It's kind of like I feel like I am just not really. It's like I sneak a peek rather than take a look, if that makes sense.
It does. Why do you think that is, though?
I just don't want to feel disappointed. I don't want to feel let down.
Why?
I think I'm worried that I'll get trapped back in that place of self-loathing. And I feel like because I have lost some weight, I'm coming back out of it. And it's so crippling. I don't want to be crippled.
Okay. I totally hear that. I'm curious, do you think the weight loss is required for you to look at yourself and love yourself in the mirror?
I think I am very brainwashed.
I what?
My mother, my family, I think were very big. You know, I was put on my first diet when I was six. And then, of course, just society.
I mean, I hear that. And Sarah, I mean, obviously you're talking about the exact same thing, like the bias, the unconscious bias that you bring along with you and you use against yourself. But I do want to say to you, like, you are entitled, like entitled to love and accept yourself right now, exactly how you are, while you're making choices about weight loss.
Yeah.
While you're making choices about relationship with your spouse, but you are like, you are the one person who is entitled to your own love and acceptance, always.
Yeah. Thank you. I think the other why is that I've been afraid that if I say that I'm totally good just as I am,
Yeah.
that I might discover that my husband doesn't think so.
What if he doesn't? What if he doesn't think so?
Yeah, then that's a hard reality I'm going to have to work with.
Is it?
Yeah. I mean, it means things have to change, right? It
Does
means
it?
some major work has to happen. If
I want
I'm,
to question that. I want you to question that. Does it mean anything has to change?
I feel like if I want to have sex, something has to change.
Okay, we can agree on that, but it's not you changing your body for him.
No, I don't mean that that has to change. I just mean, you know, like
Wait, what it, do you think
between
in a
us.
marriage that every minute of every day you're at a heightened state of love and affection for each other from the first moment of certification of marriage to the last breath?
No, I know we're not.
No, of course not. Relationships wax and wane. Attraction is designed to be a wave. We are not just like weight loss isn't like a perfect mountainous decline that you can snowboard down. It's like up and down and craggy, and so is love and marriage.
Yeah.
He's not supposed to find you 100% perfectly attractive every minute. From the
Yeah.
moment you say I do to the end.
Okay. But
We
what do you
all.
do in the meantime?
Well, in your case, starting with some self-acceptance,
Yeah.
finding the beauty in the person you are, trusting that he can see the beauty in the person you are,
Yeah.
having conversations that you can have, right? I hear you when you say that it isn't your standard MO to have like a conversation about like straight up intimacy. I get it. That isn't required. It can be helpful. But having a conversation, any conversation, like a 1% level up conversation, saying to him what you like about him, asking if there's something specific he does about you. Doesn't have to be about body or sex, right? Creating intimacy isn't just about bodies, genitalia, and all of that stuff, right? It's like creating an intimacy for you and your husband might be having a first conversation that has nothing to do with any of those things. And yet it's sort of you stepping out of your shell to create connection with him.
Yeah.
What would that look like?
I mean, I think it's a great suggestion to, you know, tell him what I like about him and stay in a safe zone, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like it's almost like building the muscle of like talking, you know, I didn't want to choose to have this huge conversation with my spouse. I had been avoiding all of this stuff for like 10 years. If I could have pre-planned it, I would have gradually jumped into a conversation. It was not my life plan to have like this big life-altering conversation. Now, I chose to meet the moment, but my recommendation to you would be to figure out what, you know, Corinne has talked about this in weight loss, like pushing yourself just like a little past your limit, your like safe zone limit, but like not into a danger zone. And that's what we're talking about here. Allowing yourself to connect with words, touch, hold hands while you have a conversation, model what you would like to offer yourself and him, and see if maybe he wants to meet you in the moment with it. It doesn't have to be a requirement, right? We all get to show up the way that's right for us. He might not say anything, but he might really like you telling him and want to offer it back. You also, if you are comfortable, could ask for, like, is there something that you really, like, after this many years of marriage, 9, I think you said, like, after 9 years of marriage, I really love this about you. I was just curious, is there anything about me that really resonates for you now still? Like, that's setting the intention of creating intimacy without it being about sexual at all yet, because you're not ready for that yet.
Right. Yeah, I think that's really good. And it's definitely an edge for me. So I think that's a great place for me to start.
So that's a first step. Obviously, I fully believe that you can get all the way into revisiting your sexual relationship with your husband. But right now, in an unwillingness to talk about it directly, and I would assume then an unwillingness to initiate sexually, would that be true?
Right. Yes, absolutely.
Okay. That seemed clear. So a first step would be building this intimacy. It's almost like taking a back end approach to something that you're not ready to take on head on. But I also would recommend you thinking very similarly to Amy about the things you want physically, the things you're willing to do, and the things you really won't do. And when you tap into that want, that desire, it's like really connecting. This is a great journaling exercise. How much do you want it? Why do you want it? What do you like about it? What are you willing to do to get it?
Okay.
That's like first step while you behind, that's your first behind the scenes step for just you while you're working on building this intimacy with words, with your husband.
Yeah. So part of what comes up when you say all that is just how sad I feel about it. You know, I feel like there's grief.
Yeah.
What do I do with that?
Feel it. I mean, how could you not grieve?
Yeah.
Of course. Of course, you've lost something you value. It's worth grieving over.
Yeah.
But the upside of that is like with humans, there's like the yin and yang. So if you are feeling sadness and grief, it's because there was a positive on the other end of it at some
Yeah.
point, which means that can be again in its new form.
Yeah.
Right? To love passionately is to feel the grief when you've lost a part of it. But none of that has to be permanent.
Yeah. And it is really connected to my self-worth. I feel that when I hear you talking.
So then the angle were for you, like in the Trusting Your Body course with the now plus nurture exercise and lesson, it's such a great like get in touch with your body exercise, and there's a worksheet that goes with it. I would highly recommend doing that fairly
Okay.
regularly. Let yourself connect to your body, like be in your body. When Corinne says sometimes drop into your body, what she really means is like get out of your brain and your mind. Let yourself sink into your body. Like just feel how you feel inside your body. Like where do you feel that sadness in your body? How does it feel? Are you settled with it? Do you want to encourage it to have a voice? Is it sharp? Is it soft? Like the entire body scan that we do in Trusting Your Body works here. It's just a little bit more like staying with your body, not going right back to your mind, allowing yourself to just be with you. You said one thing I want to talk to you about, though. You said you had, I believe you said fear that if you accept yourself the way you are, then you won't, maybe you said finish your journey or you won't keep going. What do you remember?
Think I said I might not ever have sex again.
Oh, there you go. You might not ever have sex again, but I think you have a thought error I want you to work on. Loving and accepting yourself today the way you are has nothing to do with staying exactly how you are right now. It has everything to do with loving the human you are while you make choices to make changes in your body, changes in your mind, changes in your life, changes in your finances. You get like, you hear about people who commit crimes and they're in jail and they make different choices in life and they'll find a religious faith. They'll find a philanthropic behavior of wanting to help other people, right? Like maybe they've done something that many of us think is unredeemable, but then they find a way to love and accept themselves enough to go figure out how to help other people not do it. Right? That person is still entitled, no matter what they did, they're entitled to their own love. Doesn't mean they respect what they did. Don't misunderstand me.
Yeah.
But they are like, you are 100% entitled to your own love as you are right this minute. And then if you want to make changes to your body, you want to work on your mindset, those things are great.
Yeah.
You don't have to hate yourself to make those changes, though. And I bet that's probably not working for you.
No, I think it's such an old stuck pattern. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think, part of the frustration for me or the challenge for me around being in this program, which I've only been in it a few months, is that it's like, really? I'm still working on this? Really? It's still here after all this time.
It's just judgment, right? So
Yeah.
you just have a judgment like I'm still doing this. But honestly, I had a client say the most beautiful thing to me today. I'm going to look for it really quick. It was the most lovely statement about oh gosh, this like Buddhist author said this, as long as you're breathing, there's more right with you than there is wrong with you, no matter how ill or hopeless you may feel. And the author was Jon Kabat-Zinn, who wrote Full Catastrophe Living. Mm-hmm. And as long as you are breathing, there's more right with you than wrong with you.
Yeah.
And, you know, that really speaks to me. Like, obviously my client said that to me today to say it to you, because if you are here working on it, it doesn't matter your age, how many years it's been. There's more right with you than wrong with you, Sarah. You get to love you.
Thanks, Julie.
You're welcome. Borrow my belief that you are worthy of that, whatever size body you have.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks. This has been really helpful. And it took a lot of courage to speak up, because this is, you know, not my norm. So thank you.
You're welcome. I'm so proud of you. Please do find me. If you want to continue this conversation, you know where I'm at. S Coaches, okay. Which is anonymous to the world, but you can tag me. And then in Facebook, I'm here. I'm all in.
Thanks. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Amy, Sarah, so brave. Thank you so much. Kelly, I'm going to promote you next. So beautiful. Thank you so much for all of you for sharing your true selves with us. Hi, Kelly. Just asking you to unmute.
Hello.
Hi, Kelly.
Hi. Thank you for calling on me. So me and my husband have been married 23 years, and sex started off good and it's waned, and there's been a lot of pressure and stress in our lives and different things. And I'm more into sex than he is. And it's become a big issue where he's just not that into me anymore. He said that he loves me to bits, but he's not attracted to me. And I've tried all the usual things where, you know, I dress up and I've got all the laundry, I've got all the toys, all of that. And, my most embarrassing moment was when I dressed up to surprise him and came out of the bedroom, and he asked me to move out of the way of the TV because he was watching something on the TV. So we just don't go there. We've talked about it, and it's one of our top three reasons we argue. I've tried like going by myself and playing with the toys, but it's kind of killed everything for me, and I don't know where to go.
Yeah.
I feel like, yeah, you know, if I, he's older than me, and I'm feeling like, well, I can't leave this marriage, but I'm just waiting for it to end naturally, so that then maybe in the next relationship it'll be better. I wasn't gonna cry.
It's okay. Of course you would cry. I mean, you're sharing something very intimate with me, and you're sharing something that's really hard for you. How I welcome you to cry if that's what you need to do. So let's talk about it, Kelly. I want to make sure you know that you truly do have choices here. Now, sometimes, I'm saying this to everyone, sometimes it's a choice between terrible choices, but there are choices, right? So we are going to leave him out of the conversation because he doesn't want to do anything, right?
Yeah.
So there's you. You're the important person in front of me right now. So let's just do a hand tally of the choices that I can think of right now, and you can add to them. So there is divorce, whether you want to or not, it's an option.
Mm-hmm.
There's self-satisfaction, self-pleasure, whether you want to or not, or that's easy for you or not, that's another whole story. There's having a relationship outside of your marriage, either, you know, there's ethical non-monogamy. It's not for me to decide what's ethical or not ethical, but ethical non-monogamy, for those of you who don't know what it is when two consenting partners agree to have a third party involved. Kelly could be with another person, man or woman, with the consent of her husband. She could also do that without the consent of her partner. So those are the choices that I see. Do you see any other choices than that?
They're all the ones that I've considered. The other one that keeps screaming at me is just accept it how it is.
That is a choice, but that's a choice that needs to be partnered with something else, because you are entitled to sexual pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
Period.
Mm-hmm.
So whether a partner wants to engage or not, you are still entitled to meet your own body's needs.
Yeah.
So how much of a need is it?
I feel like it's a big need. I enjoy sex. I love sex. I was always the instigator and always, you know, I'm up and ready for it. But at the same time, I've also pushed down the feelings and the desires and the need for it so much, it's dead. It's like I don't think about it anymore. Even when, like, I'm playing with toys, it's great, but then it's like it doesn't finish. Like, there's no end. It's it's just, I'm doing it and now I'm not. I go back to watch TV.
Mm-hmm. It's not as satisfying as being partnered for you?
No.
Yeah. Okay. So, well, when you were talking about your marriage coming to a natural end, is that because you do not want to choose? Like, I want to make sure you're talking about your choice to stay married or get divorced, as opposed to feeling obligated to stay with him.
I feel that this is, that everything else is great. He loves me. It's all the best friends and everything. We've been through a lot together. I just don't feel I have a reason to leave. You know, he's not nasty to me. He's not mean to me. He's not anything like that. There's no, I guess I don't want to. I just want to fix this one thing, but it seems impossible to fix.
Well, I think this is so interesting, because if two partners are willing, then work can be done, right? But we can't make him be willing.
Mm-hmm. I don't think he's willing. He says all the right things, but I don't think he's willing.
Yeah. So then the question becomes, is it a big enough need for you that you need to fulfill it outside of your marriage? You want to end your marriage, or you truly want to make the choice because he's worth being with? This is where the choice comes in. Like, for so many people, they think like there's no choice here, but this is a choice. Like, everything else about him is worth being with, that it's worth the choice to not have that intimacy. I can't answer that for you. Do you have a sense?
I don't want that. That's not the choice I want. He is definitely worth being with, but I don't want to not have intimacy.
Yeah. So, have you considered either non-monogamy, making the decision on your own, or some version of ethical non-monogamy for you to discuss with him?
I've thought about it, and I have said that I would like to, but then the fear comes in about actually doing it. It's the fear of
Well, what do you think about doing it that causes you fear?
It's just the whole hassle of it. that sounds stupid. Is I would have to go out to have a relationship, and I guess that's not what I want either. I'm just so.
Well, though, so this is your work, Kelly, I think, is that I want you to make that list of choices that we talked about, and then any additions that come in like pros and con type situation of your choices. I want you to really stop and realize, like, some of these may be shitty choices on either side of the choice. But what am I actually choosing? Because right now your brain is kind of stuck in like, well, I don't really want to choose him and no sex, but I am. And I don't really want to choose this. I don't want to choose non-monogamy because it's a hassle. But I also don't get a lot of pleasure by myself. I'm willing to do it, but it's not super exciting. And I also don't want to live until the natural fruition without sex. So you basically have created a like lose, 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 lose.
Yeah.
And at a minimum, we want you to make a choice where there is a win. Now, that win might be choosing your husband with no sex, but the win might be something else in your relationship that you get from that. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But it is possible to make a choice where you are not satisfied with one facet of the choice and very satisfied with another.
Mm-hmm.
But right now you're telling yourself you're not choosing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is not helpful because that's where you're feeling stuck, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
I have definitely lost. What's just come up for me then is I could start wearing the sexy lingerie for me, and try and build my feelings that way.
Yes. I mean, building the relationship with you, being attracted to yourself, learning how to pleasure yourself in a way that's satisfying is a great first step.
Mm-hmm.
That alone might lead you to make one of these decisions we've talked about.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that's sort of your 1% level up. I couldn't agree more that like connecting with yourself in a way to at least satisfy the human you are, because you are totally entitled to that.
Yeah.
And doing some of that choice work, right? Using the 4N tool, like noticing your thoughts about each of the choices, normalizing them, neutralizing them in like a next best thought, and see if you can get out of the stuck. So you're working on your mind and you're also working on your body at the same time.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
I get that it's a lot in my mind I gotta work on.
So both things coming together, right? To merge so that you can come up with a plan for yourself that you really do want to choose.
Yeah.
All right. Let me know how it's going.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you so much. All right. Well, we are out of time. Amanda Cunningham, you were my next person on the list, and we have run out of time, unfortunately. So this is what I want you to do. I want you to either email support or go to Ask Coaches with your coaching question, or if not, come to the next one. I am going to keep track. So like the next call is in earlier October, and you would be the first up if you come to that. So thank you so much, all of you, for being here, for being so open, for sharing yourselves. I look forward to doing this work with you. It is my greatest life passion to support you with this, and I am unbelievably appreciative that you were here. Lisa, Vern, thank you so much for being here. And I'll see you next month, you guys. Looking forward to doing this work with you more. Bye now.